Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 1. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So reads our Declaration of Independence, 1776. Last week we celebrated Independence Day. But it's not just an American thing to pursue our happiness. We all want to be happy. We all endeavor to pursue our own happiness in one way or another. That's part of what it is to be human. In the garden, we had been given every good thing, but we bought Satan's lie and bit the forbidden fruit because we saw that it was good for food, a delight to the eyes, to be desired to make one wise. We want to be happy. We thought we were missing out on something good, something that would bring fulfillment. We eat chocolate and ice cream because we want to be happy. We try to eat healthier because we want to be happy. We watch Instagram reels and binge Netflix because we're seeking happiness. We decide to exercise more because we want to be happy. We indulge in great pleasures. We make great sacrifices, all in pursuit of our own happiness. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to desire happiness. We're wired for pleasure. God designed eyes with the ability to perceive color, texture, depth, beauty. God created taste buds capable of savoring all the complexities of flavors, from salt to sweet to bitter to sour. He created ears that could delight in beautiful melodies. He gave us a nose that can appreciate savory aromas. God saturated our skin with nerve endings that respond to touch and warmth and sensation. God made us with the capacity to experience a rich complexity of emotions. God placed mankind in a garden of delights. And he blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill, subdue, exercise good authority, enjoy. God holds out to us the prospect of happiness. He invites us to pursue happiness. A few weeks ago, we looked at the mission mandate in Psalm 96, declare his glory among the nations. Today, I want to back up to the beginning of the book of Psalms. Before we dive in together, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the precious treasure that it is that teaches us who you are, who we are, what we were designed for, what we were made for. Lord, open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to know you better. That as we see you more clearly through your word, that our affections for you would deepen. That we would come to you to be satisfied. And that you would fill us, that you would be at work in us for your own glory. Be at work in each of us through your word and by your spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ and all the earth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Psalms begins with the word happy, blessed, or blessed. And the word happy occurs 25 more times throughout the Psalms. Most English translations render it blessed, although there's a different Hebrew word that more properly means blessed. What we're talking about is happiness that is substantial. Not empty frivolity, but settled joy. Happy in the richest, deepest, most lasting sense. Happiness that satisfies the longings of our soul at the deepest levels. So what does the Bible say about how to be happy? How should we pursue our own happiness in such a way that we taste it and enjoy it and it lasts? How do we pursue happiness in a way that it is not continually just out of reach, just a little bit longer, just a little bit more, just that it does not, as so often happens, slip through our fingers? Look with me at Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This psalm starts by holding out to us the hope of true happiness. Blessed, blessedness, happiness belongs to this kind of person, but it begins in the negative, telling us three things to avoid that do not bring us happiness. That which is morally wrong will not bring true, lasting happiness. That which is offensive to God will not satisfy. Happiness is not found in a scorning, mocking pride that looks down at others. Getting advice from those who are morally bankrupt will never bring true joy. Fixing yourself in the path of resistance to God, that will destroy you. It will not satisfy you. Proud looking down at others will never fill the longing in our hearts. It will create emptiness. Now, we read that and we say, walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. Who would do that in pursuit of happiness? That's ridiculous. No one would do that. Who would embrace a wicked, sinful, prideful lifestyle as a means of happiness? Well, the reason the Psalms lays out these three things that are paths that do not lead to true and lasting happiness is because, well, these are three places we naturally seek happiness in. Is there not something within us when we see the no admittance, danger, keep out, do not touch sign that thinks that maybe pleasure is found in that which is forbidden? You say that's off limits. Why? It must be good for me. This was the first seed of doubt planted by the snake in the garden. Did God really withhold pleasure from you? Did he actually set boundaries, set limits which you cannot cross? He's holding out. He's not interested in your happiness. He is forbidding things that would bring you true happiness, and he's not really good. He's actually selfish. Or do we not look around and ask ourselves, why do the wicked prosper? You just can't really make it in this world without bending the rules, stretching the truth, cutting some corners. Do we not, in our minds, among our friends, criticize others, point out their flaws, their shortcomings? We would never say it, but we think, well, I would never. And we feel better. Happiness is not found there. The psalm warns us because these are paths we often take. That which is morally wrong, that which is offensive to God, that which inflates self, these are not paths to the joy that we seek. The psalm warns us against the paths that do not lead to happiness. They lie. They appear maybe they would, but they do not lead there. But this psalm points us to the one thing that will bring us true joy. That is the law of Yahweh, the Torah, the instruction, the direction of the Lord. This is inclusive of everything God has said to us. The instruction of the Lord, God's word. What we know at the Bible, as the Bible, is a collection of all God's instructions to us, his people. Everything we need for life and godliness. And I would say happiness, this psalm tells us. True happiness. The counsel of the wicked, the way of sinners, the seat of scoffers all lead to ruin. But we have a wonderful counselor. And the instruction of the Lord leads to lasting, everlasting joy in his presence. Notice our response to God's word determines our eternal happiness. The one who is happy, blessed is the man who delights in God's instructions. John Calvin wrote of this psalm, he said in his commentary on the Psalms, that forced or servile obedience is not at all acceptable to God. And that those only are worthy students of the law who come to it with a cheerful mind and are so delighted with its instructions as to account nothing more, listen, more desirable or delicious than to make progress therein. All who are truly actuated by love to the law must feel pleasure in the diligent study of it. Grudging obligatory attention to God's word, that's empty. We may take medicine because we're supposed to, because we hope it will be good for us, maybe fix what is wrong with us, but it tastes horrible. And we plug our nose and swallow the pill as fast as we can because we know it's good for us, but it's not good. God's truth is not like that. And we should not respond to God's word like that. It's a delight. It's desirable. It's delicious. Psalm 19 describes God's word as perfect, reviving the soul, mature, making wise the simple, right, rejoicing the heart, pure, enlightening the eyes, clean, enduring forever, true, righteous, altogether more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. In keeping them, there is great reward. Psalm 119, verse 103 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Psalm 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed, happy is the man who takes refuge in Him." Psalm 139, verse 17, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." God's word is precious, good, sweet, rewarding, valuable, more to be desired, reviving, rejoicing, enlightening. The one who finds true happiness finds God's word as a treasure, a pleasure, as delicious, as a delight. The one who is happy views God's instruction with delight. Notice also the one who would be truly happy meditates on the word of God. Taste. Take time to enjoy, savor, pay attention to, focus on, study it, speak it, mutter it, muse upon it, memorize it, turn it over and over. This is prayerful reading. This is reading in the presence of God. This is listening reading in open conversation with the author. Reading plans are good. They're helpful. I'd encourage you to read intentionally with a plan. Make a plan. You don't make a plan, you don't get anywhere. But the danger lies in that plan becoming a chore, a checkbox, a task to accomplish, something to get through, something to finish, something you feel bad about if you skip, something you feel good about yourself if you're keeping up. It's a conquest, a source of pride. Don't read God's word merely to get through it. Slow down, savor, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Enjoy Him. Charles Spurgeon said, "The inward meditation is the thing that makes the soul rich toward God. This is the godly man's occupation. Put the spice into the mortar by reading. Beat it with the pestle of meditation so that the sweet perfume be exhaled." Meditation is a process that cannot be hurried or rushed through. So eliminate distractions, focus your attention, think, ponder, muse, prayerfully consider, savor. Take time to enjoy, delight yourself in the instruction of the Lord. Meditate on it day and night. This psalm compares the person who delights in, meditates on God's truth, God's word, God's instruction, with a tree planted. Who is the blessed man? He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The blessed man, the happy man, is compared to a tree. Not a vegetable, not a grain, not a shrub. In the desert, this is a tree, one that stands the test of time, one who has staying power, one who lasts. This is a tree planted. This is not a wild tree. This is not an unplanned tree. This is not a volunteer. This is a cultivated tree, carefully selected, intentionally placed by a wise and good gardener. Jesus said in Matthew 15, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. This is a tree planted in a specific location by streams of water. Not in the desert, not by a stagnant pool, not by a wadi or a wash that fills with water during the rainy season but then dries up the rest of the time. This speaks of intentional, consistent irrigation. And this is a tree that yields its fruit in season. It's not a decorative tree. It's not a shade tree. It's a fruit-bearing tree. It's a cultivated tree intended to be productive, intended to bless others. Fruit trees are beautiful. Fruit trees are good for shade, but their main purpose is to bear fruit. Jesus said in John 15, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Fruit bearing is directly proportional to abiding, to delighting in, to meditating on. The fruitful tree is nourished by the word. A tree without adequate water supply will wither. The one who day and night drinks in the word will not wither. Notice this rooted abiding is not a ritual, it is relational. We abide in a person. This is a lifeline to Jesus. Remember, the whole Bible, it's all about Jesus. As you meditate, seek to meet Jesus there. As you are going about your day, remind yourself of the scriptures you have read and memorized and draw strength and encouragement from them. Remind yourself of your salvation, of your blood-bought relationship with Jesus. Enjoy his company. He says, I am with you always to the end of the age. Do you believe that? Do you live like that? Do you enjoy that? Blood-bought relationship. I am with you. Are you aware of that? Delight in his promised presence with you. Walk constantly in his presence, in conversation with him, because he loves you. If you abide, you will bear much fruit. You will live with purpose. This is the happiness that comes from purpose realized. The blessed man, in all that he does, he prospers. He advances. He makes progress. He is profitable, fruitful. This is not the empty happiness of a fleeting pleasure. This is the enduring happiness of living a purpose fulfilled. The enjoyment that comes from knowing what you were made for. Being who you were created to be. Doing what you were meant for. This is the substantial satisfaction of being fruitful. The wicked are not so. Contrast is drawn between the blessed, the happy one who delights in and meditates on the truth of God's word, and the wicked, who are not so. By the way, notice there is not a third category. There is no category for nominal, complacent, comfortable, non-abiding, non-fruitful trees. There are those who treasure God's word, who enjoy his presence, and there are the wicked. Jesus' parable of the soils. There's lots of different types of ground that don't bear fruit. There's one that does. There's not that category. Jesus lumps the one who appears to have some life but is crushed by the cares of the world, or choked out by the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things. He lumps the one who springs up quickly for joy, but the persecution destroys the plant. There's not five categories, there's not three categories, there's two categories. There's the righteous and the wicked. There's the ones who bear fruit, the ones who do not, the ones who abide, the ones who do not, who are cast into the fire and burned. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The blessed man is like a tree planted. The wicked are like chaff. What a stark contrast. After grain is harvested, it's beaten or winnowed to separate the kernel of grain from the useless husk that surrounds it as it's growing. That useless empty husk is blown away by the wind so that the grain remains. The contrast couldn't be more stark. Firmly planted, well-nourished, fruitful tree, empty husk of grain blown away by the wind. One with purpose, rooted, alive, thriving, growing, productive, and a lifeless, nutritionless, empty husk, a shell. What a description of a life with no purpose, with no joy, a mere empty husk blown around by the wind. Well, let me ask you, which is more characteristic of you? Which is more characteristic of me? This psalm points us to the blessedness, the happiness of the righteous man. Who is this righteous man? Do you know any? Have you met any? Anyone rooted in God's word knows that there is none righteous, no, not one. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Amen.
But the righteousness of God has been manifested, has been demonstrated, has been put on display. Not a righteousness that comes from keeping commandments, but a righteousness the entire scriptures point us toward, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Romans 3, Jesus is the one righteous man. 1 Peter 3, Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. The righteousness of Christ, Romans 4, is counted to us, credited to our account as a gift. You ever had that happen? Like, man, I don't know how I'm going to make the bills this month. There's more month left at the end of the money, and I don't know what's going to happen. And you go, you check your balance, and you're like, there's money, and there shouldn't be. Yesterday, there wasn't. You call the bank, and it's like, a mistake? I don't, what? Anonymous person deposited something into your account. You're going to make it this month. I don't know who to thank. I can't pay it back. It's a gift credited to your account. The only path to a righteousness that pleases God is the sinner humbly trusting God to credit us with a righteousness that does not belong to us. It is not our own. It is the righteousness of Christ. Romans 4, quoting Psalm 32, says, blessed, there's that word again, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed, happy is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. It is by Romans 5, the obedience of Christ that we are made righteous. It's His obedience. It's His perfect record of righteousness, not mine, counted, credited to my account. There is one righteous, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We are made righteous through faith in Him. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Those who are justified, those who are declared righteous, those who are credited with the perfect obedience of our Lord Jesus are known by the Lord. The Lord knows those who are His. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Would you find real happiness? Seek the righteousness that comes by faith in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him clothe you in His own perfect righteousness. Delight yourself in the Lord, in His Word, in the Gospel. Treasure it, savor it, meditate on it, draw from it your nourishment day and night. Enjoy Him, abide in Him, listen to Him, enjoy that blood bought relationship. Sink your roots down deep into Him and thrive. Let's pray. Father, we are so easily distracted by so many things that promise so much but deliver so little. Help us to be wise and listen to your word. Not fools chasing after the wind. Lord, you have clearly told us what will ultimately satisfy, and you have warned us against those lies of the enemy that will not. Give us the wisdom. Give us your Spirit who allows us to choose to listen. That we would plant our roots deeply in our Lord Jesus Christ and turn away from the things that you tell us will not satisfy. Lord, may your word be delicious to us. May we day by day by day taste and see that Yahweh, you are good. Sweeter than honey. More precious than the greatest treasure. Put our mouths out of taste for the things with which the tempter baits his hooks. And give us a longing only for you. Be at work in each one of us. For the sake of your great name, for your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite some of our men to come and prepare to serve communion. This is an opportunity for us as the body of Christ come together to commune with Jesus. This is a physical, tangible thing that Jesus gave us to remember Him, to commune with Him. We call it communion because communing is that intimate fellowship that we're created for. This is a tangible, touchable, seeable, real thing because Jesus, the second person of the triune God, God from all eternity, came down and became human, took on flesh and blood so that as a real, genuine human, flesh and blood, that flesh and blood could be nailed to a cross, suspended between heaven and earth, bearing my sin in his body on the tree, so that I could be reconciled. The relationship between an offended, holy, righteous, and good God and a sinner, a rebel like me, who spat in his face, that relationship could be healed and restored. I could be welcomed, adopted as his child. Have a seat at his table. Not because of anything I am or have done, but because of the finished work of Jesus for me in my place on the cross. And today I stand before a holy, righteous, all-seeing, all-knowing God, clean, forgiven, flawless, spotless. Not because I'm perfect, because Jesus was perfect in my place and I'm clothed in his righteousness and I'm growing as my roots are sinking deep into him, growing. His character is being produced in me slowly. Trees take time to grow. But my DNA has been changed from a weed to a tree. Fruit tree that is meant to walk in the good works that God prepared in advance for me to walk in. What a privilege to be walking with the Lord. We'll serve you if you're a believer in Jesus. If you're leaning into and depending completely on Jesus, what he did for you, you're welcome to celebrate with us the good news that Jesus' body was broken, his blood was poured out to cover my sins, so that I can today enjoy a relationship with him. Once we've all been served, we'll give thanks and take that together.
That's it.
The world is so deceptive. Things look so attractive. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Look to Jesus. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Worship him. He's God. He came to absorb the wrath of his Father that should have come to me. He paid my price. He freely gives me the gift of relationship with him, eternal life in his presence. He paid my price. Did he pay yours? Simply believe. Simply depend on. Receive the gift. thanks, that's all we can give. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my place, for dying the death I deserved, for bearing the wrath of Almighty God against my sin, so that I today am receiving what you deserve. Intimacy with the Father. Joy in your presence. Thank you for your body broken, for your blood poured out. We receive from your good hand. His body broken for you. Take and eat. His blood poured out to wash us clean and make us